Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Cher Huber.
Lovely music we have right before us, huh?
Yes, that's Faux with No Cover, No Minimum.
And excellent stuff.
Excellent stuff. More world music at 6 p.m. with DJ Decca.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick around. I'm going to keep listening.
You're going to keep listening. Get in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it at 90.1 FM.
Exactly.
And just
always
pull,
do.
Pull the dial right off.
Exactly.
Great. It's great to be back here. Sherry, welcome back.
Good to see you. Thank
Good
you.
To see you, too. Sherry's been a Zen student and teacher for more than 25 years, written many wonderful books, and a new one called When You're Falling Dive.
My latest baby.
Your latest baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they can learn all about what you're doing at sherryhuber.com.
They can.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'd love to hear from people today.
We would.
Yes.
It's last week was just very fun for me because we had so many people calling in.
Yes.
And it felt like we could really get a little kind of a, you know,
Buzz.
Know very well, and many people listening in know that when we're on retreat or at the monastery, we have evening group discussion.
Yes.
And I always begin those with, what would you like to talk about tonight?
Yes.
And then people just take off with whatever.
Yes.
And we work it around into something that hopefully is relevant to most of us there.
Yes.
And last week on the show, it felt like that. We just had people calling in and calling in and calling in. And we
yes.
got a little group discussion going. It's very
group
exciting.
Discussion, some energy, a
yeah.
little buzz. The hands go up.
Exactly.
Or in this case, the lights
come
on.
They're our favorite sight around here when those lights start flashing.
Exactly. If you'd like to join our conversation today, give us a call at 650-723-9010 in the Bay Area. If you're listening to us, you're already tuned in, 90.1 FM on the internet. You can pick us up at kzsulive.stanford.edu. And Cher, you're going to be away for a couple weeks.
I am. I'll be in Africa for a couple of weeks, and I would love to be able to be in touch. In fact, I'm going to do my best to email some stuff back to you so that when
oh,
I return,
wonderful.
Maybe we can talk about some of the things that that we were looking at as a group as we visit these various places in Africa and see some of the work that's being done to assist the children there, get
yes.
them off the street and into school and things like that.
Sounds like fabulous. Needed work.
Yeah. I'll hear people say, well, that sounds like fun. And I think, well, that fun is not exactly the word.
Mm-hmm.
Fun is a strong word
uh-huh.
for this trip, I think.
Yes.
But there are lots of words that I would use to describe it, like exciting and mm-hmm. Important and
yes.
All of that. So I'll let you know.
Yes. Rewarding is another
Rewarding.
Word that comes to mind.
Yeah. Something that my heart really calls me to do. So
yes, yes, wonderful. Sherry, we have a caller here. I'd like to welcome Joyce from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Oh, well, other than being rain-soaked and under the clouds in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I'm really sorry. You know, I was in Pittsburgh just not that long ago, and the weather looked exactly like that then.
Well, it looks a little bit like Ireland here.
I see. Now, the good news about it is that it's very green.
It's very green. And we don't have the rainbows that they have there yet, but
uh-huh.
I'm looking for them.
Soon.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, what's going on tonight?
Well, it was what was going on yesterday. I woke up with this feeling. And I was watching it, and it was butterflies, and I really didn't want to attach any stories to it. But as I got up and started to move around, I noticed myself reacting. I was irritable and cranky, and yet there was no big story.
Mm-hmm.
I heard these judgmental voices, and this feeling, and I did label it as being cranky and irritable, and it just kind of hung around all day.
Mm.
And
now, where did you feel these butterflies?
It was kind of in my stomach. It was just like that feeling all day long.
Mm-hmm. And so this is above the navel.
Yeah,
not your lower abdomen, but really up in your stomach area.
Yes.
Okay.
And I just, when someone said something, I just saw myself being bugged by them. And I was watching that, and I tried to come back to that sensation. Well, I did come back to that sensation.
And when you would come back and check in, it would still be kind of butterfly, kind of.
The feeling was there, but I was able to quiet the voice that was bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching all day long, and even though I was at Sangha last night, and everything everybody was said was just bugging me.
Uh-huh.
I heard these voices, and I knew what was going on, and I knew that these voices were just conditioning.
Now, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel like you had a lot of energy?
Yes. I was not just sitting around on the couch yesterday.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I did have the energy. I took the dogs to the park,
And when you were doing something, did it change the quality of the reaction at all?
It did. Because I guess because I was in the present with the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, well, so here's what I'm projecting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is that if I were to talk about chakras, let me talk about chakras for everybody else. Okay.
Okay.
So the first chakra at the base of the spine, is kind of survival stuff. It's, this friend of mine says it's the reason that when people become vegetarians and go home and suggest to their family that we have tofu this year instead of turkey for our holiday dinner, and the family flips out, it's a first chakra issue. Okay,
right.
So our tribe does not eat tofu, not on holidays. Okay, we eat turkey, and people can get very upset about that sort of thing, and that's a first chakra issue. So right below the navel, second chakra is emotional stuff. So we get a lot of, when we get upset, a lot of people get upset there, and get a lot of abdominal stuff going during high emotional times. Where you're pointing, kind of just below the solar plexus, the third chakra, the will center. And then the fourth chakra is at the heart,
mm-hmm.
the heart center. And the fifth chakra at the throat, which is kind of personal identity, who I am, self-image sorts of things. So when people go through big personal transformations or alter their way of being in the world, they'll often have fifth chakra stuff. People lose their voice all of a sudden, that kind of thing. Sixth chakra, right across the eyes, is the sense of knowing. It's how things are, how they should be. It's what walks into a room and says, this is very nice, or why on earth would they pick that color? That sort of thing. And then the seventh chakra right above the crown of the head is a transcendence. It's a wisdom, a clarity, connection sort of thing. So I'm projecting that your activity was in the third chakra, the will center, and that very often when we have a lot of energy to move with something, to make something happen, if we don't go with that energy, then it starts feeling like agitation, annoyance. We have more energy than we know what to do with.
Aha,
which,
that makes sense.
Yeah, that's why I was asking you about physical activity and if it was different then.
Well, I didn't have a lot planned yesterday.
Uh-huh. Aha. Uh-huh. Was yesterday kind of a day off?
Yeah, kind of, yes.
Uh-huh.
And yes, I didn't have anything just set to do.
Right. So here you have energy and nowhere for it to be directed. That's the time very often it'll turn into a dissatisfaction, a agitation. You know, it's kind of sitting waiting for the dentist.
Interesting.
That sort of thing.
I did have to go to the dentist.
Oh, we're on to something here.
Right.
So I'm the kind of person who... I would tell you that I don't like relaxing, because most people's idea of relaxing is you just go sit somewhere. You know, you sit and watch TV or you sit and read a book or whatever. I don't enjoy that because I have too much energy. I'm a really high energy person. And what's relaxing for me is puttering. that if I keep a constant stream of energy going along, I do very well. But if I try to stop, it's like the energy gets backed up in the inactivity, and then starting again can be very unpleasant.
So where does this cranky and irritable come from?
Well, for me, it's the feeling that I would have if I drank a couple of cups of coffee and then just sat down, say at a meeting. Always fascinates me. You know, I travel a lot. And there's Starbucks right outside every gate, right at the airport. And I think, here are these people walking along with these giant cups of coffee, and then they're going to go sit on an airplane. And I think, what in the world must that feel like? That's the last thing I would want to do. You know, I'd like to take have a big cup of sedative, you know, because... Because I'm just going to sit there. There's no way you can't even get up and walk around. So to me, that's when, for me, and I'm just offering this as some place for you to look, that if there's more energy building up in the system than you're using, that it might then turn into crankiness, irritable. You know, irritable is it's kind of a physiological, you know, you get prickly. So to look and see if it's an excess energy that doesn't have a direction.
Uh-huh.
So if you have animals, you know, they'll be sitting there, and then all of a sudden they look up, especially dogs. Cats too, though. They look around, and then they just start racing around the room.
Right.
You know, and then they fall over. And I think if we did the same thing, we would be less irritable.
But how about sitting?
Well, sitting, now, if you're sitting with that kind of energy and you don't expand the container, you know what I mean by that? If you don't allow yourself to relax into the extra energy that's building, you will become irritable, right?
Right.
Twitchy and kind of fidgety, and people report that a lot. I sit down, and instead of being able to just sit there, I just fidget. My mind goes from thing to thing to thing to thing. Well, they have all this energy building, and I would project their relationship with the energy is to either dissipate it in distraction sorts of ways or attempt to control it.
Accept it?
Accept it allows it to move through.
And right. I think I was watching it too much yesterday.
Oh, no, you can't watch too much.
You can't watch
No. Not if you were really watching it. Now, if it's watching it with the idea of doing something about it, that can result in crankiness, too.
Okay.
But sometimes, you know, just crankiness is. There's a certain set of sensations, and that's the karmic interpretation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
now,
accepting it and saying, okay, this is temporary.
Well, accepting it and, wow, now this is, I call this cranky or irritable. Now, what would it be if I didn't have that label on it? What are the sensations really like?
Mm-hmm.
And what would I do if I weren't doing what I'm doing? What would be a real expression of this energy? What would that be like? If I were going to paint a picture, what would the picture look like? If I were going to play music, what kind of a dance would it be if I were going to dance to this energy?
So move.
Could do. Mm-hmm. Or could just see what images come to you of that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So just to begin to play with it rather than labeling it something and then having a habitual relationship with it.
And look at the chakra.
And notice, yeah, notice where you feel it in the body.
Okay. Very
good.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Joyce. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. My name is Michael Gray. Sherry, that's really interesting stuff there. A couple things occurred to me. One, we use the word sangha. I was wondering if you could expand on that for people who are not familiar.
Sangha is in most, I think, Eastern philosophy, or ones that started in India, the word that's used for people who practice together.
I see.
And so the Buddha taught us to live with the three jewels. They're often called Bodhi, awakening or enlightenment, Dharma, the teaching, the practice, the process, and Sangha, the people with whom we practice, the community of people also practicing. So it can be very specifically a particular group of people, or it could be, we could say, we are all Sangha.
We are all Sangha. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
In the same way my teacher used to say, we are all Buddhists. People don't know they're Buddhists, but they are, because everyone is on a path of awakening. And that's what Buddhism is. It's a path of awakening. Buddha awakened one, an enlightened one. And, of course, from a Zen perspective, we could say a Buddhist perspective, everyone is enlightened. It's just that most people don't know it.
Uh-huh.
And we do all of these other things instead of just enjoying our inherent enlightenment. And what we talk about here is all of those things that we do instead of just enjoying our inherent enlightenment, and ways that we can not give so much support to those impediments so that we can spend more time enjoying our inherent enlightenment.
Yes, yes. Fascinating. If you'd like to join our conversation today, please feel free to give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. Sherry, another thing that came up in the conversation is you were talking about sitting, and we often use that term interchangeably to mean sitting meditation.
Yes. Meditation is one of those words like karma that has grown unfortunate in our culture because meditation, the word meditation is used for just so many things that what are we talking about?
Yes.
So people will talk about guided meditation, or I meditated on it, or prayer meditation, or all sorts of things. And in Zen, sitting is really a much better word for what we do, because we are just sitting. We're sitting. We're not trying to clear our minds. We're not trying to change anything. We're not trying to get anywhere. We're not attempting to do anything. We are just sitting. And as we sit, of course, we pay attention. We notice everything that arises. And that's it. We breathe. We notice. We sit. We sit. We breathe. We notice. And we just keep going like that. And so sitting is a much clearer description of it. But for a lot of people, then they get confused, because I'll say, you're required to sit with it. But what I'm talking about is something that's going on at work. So they think, well, then I need to be at work and then come home and sit with what I'm. But that's not it, because we are sitting still in the mind of sitting.
Yes.
All the time, wherever we are.
I see. Whatever we're doing.
Whatever we're doing. So in Zen, of course, we at first sit facing a blank wall, and we're just breathing. And in our tradition, we start out counting the breaths.
Yes.
And then we do walking meditation, and we do working meditation, and then we do walking around in life meditation.
Right.
But they're all sitting. It's all sitting still. It's just that's a confusing image for people, because how can you be sitting still in your life?
Uh-huh.
But if we think about maybe sitting still in your heart, or sitting still, sitting in that stillness as you go about your life.
Yes.
So sitting still being an image of acceptance.
Yes.
When a person is sitting still, it really is an attitude of acceptance.
Yes.
You know, I'm just being still, being, being.
Yeah.
So that would be another one, being,
right,
to describe what we do. But then that has being can have almost a doing connotation.
Yes.
What, you know, I'm just being. Well, that must be something I'm doing. So we're pointing at a loss of perspective.
Uh-huh.
But that's not it either, because that would be a doing. So it's very close to that notion of, I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of being a fly on the wall within ourselves in our own lives.
Uh-huh.
Just there.
I see.
Attention. Yeah, attending, aware, noticing, breathing.
Mm-hmm. Watching our own lives.
Yes.
As they unfold.
Yes. From a what we call disidentified place.
Yes.
A place of awareness, not involvement. So from that place of conscious awareness, it doesn't matter that the person sitting on the cushion is fidgeting. It's a perfect chance to observe a human being being a human being. Mm-hmm. So there's that person sitting there, and what do? Well, they fidget. Oh, that's interesting. What's fidgeting? So you watch, and then you see, oh, there's all this energy in the third chakra, and it's not going anywhere, and it's just kind of folding in on itself, and it's becoming, it's starting to twitch around in the muscles because there's all of this, and that's interesting to see. And even though I'm using words to describe that, what we're actually doing doesn't require words. So there's just fidgeting. And there isn't any body fidgeting. There's just kind of fidgeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
The universe is
The universe is fidgeting right now on this cushion.
Yes. Uh-huh. And Sherry, on the with the call with Joyce, you described the six different chakras. Mm-hmm. So would it be fair to say that chakras are sort of energy centers within the body?
Yeah.
That are associated with different...
Yeah. And we can become... attuned to them. Mm-hmm. So if there's a loud noise and you're really present, you'll notice which part of your body vibrates with that noise. Mm. Different sounds, different vibrational levels enter our bodies through at different places in the body,
yes,
through different chakras.
Yes.
And we can find ourselves, a lot of times people will have headaches, you know, where I describe the sixth chakra, and they'll say, you know, it feels like there's a lot of pressure right there between my eyebrows, and it's just, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of backup of energy locked in that sixth chakra.
I see.
So we have another one that people talk about a lot, and I describe as Bart Simpson head. And as soon as I describe it, they go, oh my gosh, that's it. It's the seventh chakra, and it's a feeling that the top of your head just opens up. And if you think about it in that way, it's as if energy is just going back and forth in and out of the top of your head.
Oh, wow.
Or again, as I mentioned earlier, when there's a great emotional upset, people will often feel it in their second chakra. People will describe walking around, and they'll be in a large crowd, and they just get all of this upset in that kind of right below their navel part of the lower abdomen. And they just, it's too much, you know, there's just too much. It's too many people, too much.
And that's the second chakra?
Yeah, the second chakra is really responding to the emotional climate of everything around
them. I see.
So it's just another way of noticing, another way of observing ourselves. And the thing that I like about it is that we're doing an email class now, a new email class, and it's on Zen and the Enneagram.
Yes.
And people will say, what? So the Enneagram is this ancient Sufi personality typing system, and there are nine types and blah, blah, blah. And people say, what are you doing? What does this have to do with Zen? What do chakras have to do with Zen, for heaven's sake?
Right.
Well, that very question tells us that we need something to shake us loose from our ideas about what Zen is. Because if Zen becomes this very small, constricted, specific idea about how life is or how we are in relation to life, then we have lost Zen altogether. So we just keep, it's like a camera, you know, you just keep putting different filters on and different lenses.
Yes.
And now it's very far away, and now it's close up, and now it's this and it's that. And when we're looking at the same things, but we're constantly changing our way of looking at them, not for them, because it doesn't matter what they are, whatever it is that we're focused on, but we're trying to see different ways we have of seeing, of experiencing, of perceiving.
Yes.
And all of that, of course, enables us to step back a little more, be a little less identified with this I who is having this perception.
Right. And that's exciting to me, the way you bring in lots of different tools to look at our lives.
Yeah.
Because there's only sort of one truth or one life.
Yeah.
And there's lots of different ways to explore that.
Yeah. And again, mostly seeing ourselves and our limitations.
Exactly.
So it's like, I don't like doing that. I don't like looking at that way. That just doesn't, you know, that seems... Well, that attitude of mind, having that revealed for me is extremely helpful, because what that tells me is I'm only willing to see certain things.
Yes.
And then if I'm smart, I have got to be suspicious of who wants me only to see certain things.
Uh-huh.
And what are those certain things that I'm allowed to see?
Yes.
So people will go along through life looking for the things that they like. You know, I want to do a spiritual practice that I really am attracted to. Well, that's swell. But really, you know, probably we should do the spiritual practice that we're not attracted to.
Uh-huh.
Now, if we find one that we are attracted to and we never leave it, that accomplishes the same thing. But what people uh-huh. tend to do is, like we are with any other relationship, well, I like that. Okay, well, now I don't like that. Now I like this other thing. Now,
shopping.
Yeah, now I don't think that that's it. Now I like this other thing. And so to catch on to those sorts of attitudes and beliefs inside of ourselves is illuminating. It can be very helpful for us.
Exciting even.
Oh, yeah.
Liberating.
Absolutely. All of those things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I hope all of our listeners are enjoying this as much as I am. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name's Michael Gray. Coming up at 5:40 p.m. today, we have the news, followed by DJ Decca with At the Cafe Bohemian. That'll be some great world music at 6 p.m., followed by the Bot of Euphony at 9 p.m. If you'd like some more info about the email classes that you mentioned, for example, people can go to your website, which is sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back to take your calls. So please feel free to give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. And we're back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name's Michael Gray. If you'd like to join our conversation today, please give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. Or if you prefer, you can drop us an email as well. Sherry's going to be away for the next couple of weeks, so we have special email shows, which are going to be really great. So please tune in. Sherry, we've been talking about energy some with our first caller. And to me, that's always an exciting topic, because it seems like what we do often as human beings is run straight to the label.
Mm-hmm.
I feel something somewhere.
And the story.
And the story and the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because staying with the energy is unfamiliar or unusual. Or
well, yeah. And we believe it. You know,
well,
that,
it's true.
Yeah, that's the thing. Over the break, you and I were talking a little bit about how people believe that there are different kinds of energy. So there is emotional energy and mental energy and spiritual energy and sexual energy. And actually, there's just energy. And as we were talking about with Joyce, when that energy gets in different parts of the body, when it gets stuck there, then we think that that's what it is, that it has to do with that. But it doesn't. That's just where it got stuck. So if I live in my head a lot, then I'm going to have a lot of energy in my sixth chakra. And when it gets blocked in there, I'm going to get headaches. I'm going to get sinus stuff. I'm going to get all sorts of conditions, physical conditions. I'm going to feel tired, and I'll feel tired in my head. You know, different people feel tired in different places, depending on which part of their body they're overworking or where the energy is blocked or locked,
mm-hmm.
and how they deal with that blocked energy.
Mm.
So if I have a lot of first chakra energy, if I have a lot of my energy locked in the first chakra, then I'm liable to think of it as sexual energy, and uh-huh. then I've got to have a whole relationship with myself because I have all of this sexual energy.
Uh-huh.
Well, if the energy were freed up to move around through the body,
mm-hmm.
then it would be a lot of emotional energy, a lot of will to do whatever, a lot of heart-opening, expansive, uh-huh. accepting energy, a lot of energy to be who I am and allow that to transform into whatever. like that.
Yes.
So rather than I have a lot of a particular type of energy, how am I keeping that energy locked in that particular part of the body? Because a great deal of my karmic relationship with myself is going to be maintained by the energy being held in a particular part of the body.
Mm. So when I can allow that energy to be as it is and to move where it wants to move, then there's some freedom there.
Exactly. And if you think about now the fifth chakra, we talked about being personal identity, sort of how I see myself and how I want the world to see me. And think about the amount of tension that people carry in their neck and shoulders.
Uh-huh.
How much tension there is in maintaining a self-image. So when I begin to realize that sort of thing, then instead of it being a problem, I can start looking at, because, you know, I could identify that as a problem, and I could go to massage people and chiropractors and all sorts of people to try to alter that. And, of course, it does alter it for a little while, and then it comes right back again because it's an identity maintenance system. It's I'm not just going to go to the chiropractor, have it adjusted, and have it go away.
Right.
I would no longer be who I am.
Right.
So, you know, that's all going to just go right back into those same knots again, because that's how I'm holding my identity in place. Now, this is all very, you know, I'm presenting this in a very simplified way, and yet it's for all its simplicity, it's fairly accurate. So to begin to look at, well, what about myself am I holding in place through keeping my shoulders up around my ears? And I start looking at, well, you know, I'm really concerned about this and worried about this. And I feel a lot of pressure, a lot of stress to perform in these ways and make these things happen because I want people to perceive me this way. And, you know, if I'm paying attention, I can just see all of that creep into my shoulders and my neck as I
watch them rise.
Yeah, watch them rise. Yeah. And then we bring conscious awareness to it, put our attention there, relax it down again. And, as we relax in that way, that's affecting our identity. Okay?
Because, heaven forbid we should be relaxed, happy people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So we have to be prepared to be relaxed, happy people. It's we can't just leap into it. Okay?
We need a model for it.
And it's a process.
Yes.
So I have to, if I'm going to relax those shoulders, I have to be ready to be a different person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a package.
Yes, and I've heard you talk before about a process, having a process for receiving.
Absolutely.
And so if I receive a lot and have no process for receiving, it's going to be a lot of stress.
Yes, so the example that we hear people give all the time, everybody thinks that if they won the lottery, they would be happy. And then you check out the people who have won the lottery, and they are not happy. And many times, not only are they not happy, but they manage to get rid of the money pretty quickly. Okay.
Double whammy.
Yeah, because we assume that some external is going to make the difference, but we don't realize the only difference that's going to be made is the amount that we're able to adjust within ourselves to accommodate whatever this new thing is. So I think, you know, if I would just get that promotion at work, then my life would work. I would be happy. Mm-hmm. I would have everything I wanted. Failing to realize that if I'm not different, I'm just going to take the same me into those new circumstances, make those new circumstances familiar, make those new circumstances fit with the old me, and wind up in the same place.
Right. So I'll get that promotion, and then something else will be wrong.
Exactly.
All right. Something wrong, mind.
Yes. Yes, precisely.
Great. And something right mind says that we have a caller from North Carolina. I'd like to welcome Karen to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Karen, can you hear me?
Hey.
Great. It would help if I pressed the right buttons here.
Have you been fumbling around over there?
Well, you're not more than usual.
Well, hello,
Hi.
Sherry.
Good
Michael.
Evening.
So we're talking about energy.
Yes.
Energy, yes.
It's interesting. I turn off the computer, and so I'm in this dead zone for a while. And so I guess we're still talking about energy. What I've been looking about in that respect, I can't identify the actual sensations in the body for the movements that I'm experiencing, but I see it in behavior. For example, if I notice a quick reaction will happen in response to life, and so that when I sit with that one, and then there's another response that occurs. Am I making sense?
Okay, so something happens in life, and maybe it has a kind of a shocking quality to it?
Or it's just a life, you know, just something's happening, and I notice how Karen wants to respond.
Okay, and so that's there, and you're watching what happens.
Mm-hmm. And it may not be a response that I found helpful in the past.
Uh-huh.
That's the key.
Okay, so maybe the reaction is to have a judgmental thought about somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Or let's say I'm self-employed and I want customers to come to my place of business, and then when they do, I find out that I'm irritable. Okay,
right.
This is a concrete example.
Yes, that's very good.
So you know that's not helpful.
Exactly.
For this business standpoint, and for the interchange, I want to have fun with them. And so, what I'm practicing is letting that first reaction come and go, and then seeing what's there.
Yes, because it's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. If we don't leap into, well, now this is the wrong thing. What is the matter with me? Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the matter with me that I want customers to come in and then I get irritable with them when they get here?
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get past that, mm-hmm. then it really is interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting in a larger way to me than this thing with the customers. Because what you're looking at is, going in one direction, I say I want a particular thing, mm-hmm. I'm moving toward a particular thing, I get that thing, and I have a completely different reaction than the one I would have thought that I would have.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. So that, now, we can all, I imagine, think of any number of times when we've had that experience.
A lot.
A lot.
It's shocking.
It's shocking when we begin to pay attention to it, how often that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things that I talk about with aspects of the personality, or subpersonalities as sometimes they're called, is that we have a need, and we have a certain aspect of the personality who comes in to get that need met. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that personality's job is to get that need met. Once that need is met, then that personality goes away. And the person behind that personality with the next greatest need is the one who comes forward.
Hmm.
So what we forget, so say I want a job. I want that job, I want that job, I want that job, I want that job. They call me up, I have the job. Okay, the person who wanted the job got what they wanted. So they go away. Okay, I got the job, good. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now they go to the beach. Now, who's going to be left there?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be somebody who wants to do the job? Somebody who has no interest in the job? Somebody who figures they could have gotten a better job? Okay? Any number of folks could arise who then have to go into this job that somebody got.
Right. You know, just as you were speaking, what occurs to me, I mean, I was just so excited to have be in the place where you know, kind of being on hold till the person showed up that was going to help me with this customer, that I kind of turned my attention away from the part of me that maybe was irritable.
Yes, so you're right. And so to look without judgment, mm-hmm. or with as little judgment as we can manage,
mm-hmm.
at, wow, now how does that work?
Yeah, that personality's need.
Yeah, because as a person with their own business, it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever considered how many people with their own business see customers as an annoyance?
Uh-huh. Well, that's, yeah. I mean, I thought I was the only one.
Oh, no. No. As a customer, I can promise you. I've run into that any number of times. And I think it's quite an unconscious or innocent approach on people's part. Uh-huh. You know, I'm running a business. I have a ton of things to do. I do not have time to deal with you. You know, I have my to-do list that I've got to get through before the day is over.
It'd be like you saying, I don't have time for these Zen students.
That's right. I don't have time for these calls. Do you realize how much I've got to get done before this day is over?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then pretty soon, you know, you've gotten rid of everybody. You've gotten rid of all your customers, so you have a lot of time to run your business,
exactly.
But you don't have one.
I know it.
Yeah. So, now, I'm not saying that that's what's going on with you, but I'm saying that is a very, that's a possibility, right? That is a way that would, something that would make sense out of the two things that you're experiencing. In the same way that that person who wants the job and gets the job and then doesn't look around for anybody to go to work.
Yes, yeah, so there's sort of no follow through.
Yeah, exactly. Because the whole focus was, I want the job.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, all I want is to get married. 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 Okay, I got married. I don't have anybody here who wants to be married.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just wanted to get married.
Well, and that sort of speaks of being identified so much with that one who wants to get married that nothing else is being considered.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm going to be married soon.
Right.
And then what, you know, I won't have getting married to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then, right. Mm-hmm. So what that need gets met, and if we're not careful, the next need that arises may be something that is not at all in keeping. It may not be a smooth transition. Especially if all I want to do is get married, then I get married, and the next thing that arises is my career goals.
Right.
Okay, and so now I am in this new marriage, and I have no time or interest for it because I'm working on that promotion at work.
Well, it's something else.
Yes, it is. And being on to this process is huge.
Oh, you know, it is. I feel like it's huge.
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun. Today it was just relaxing and, you know, it's like the irritability doesn't even arise anymore. I just have a good time with the customers and everything gets done.
Yeah. And so looking at it in this process sort of way, we can sort of, as you say, kind of move back a little bit and say, well, now who's going to be here?
Yes.
So what is the next need that's going to arise? Or who's going to come in with their agenda next? Because if we imagine life as just this huge meeting and the agenda is endless,
mm-hmm.
you know, so what is the next agenda item?
Well, it's like that thing we talk about is letting life live us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can step back and be in that place, then I can just be there for whatever fabulous thing wants to happen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if it isn't the fabulous thing you thought was going to happen, or if it isn't
fabulous at all,
or if it's a completely inappropriate fabulous thing,
well, whatever,
it can still be really interesting.
Yes, really interesting. And I think I'm just enjoying so much just being present to whatever
mm-hmm.
is arising.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. Sure, there's some fascinating stuff in that call. It's really exciting. And one thing that occurred to me is you talk in your books about the four causes of suffering,
mm-hmm.
which are basically one cause of suffering.
Yes, phrased in four ways.
Phrased in four ways.
Yeah.
Not getting what we want.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Getting what we want and not being satisfied,
uh-huh.
if we're going to do all of them.
We're going to do all.
Being separated from those or that which we love. And being forced to endure the presence of those or that which we do not love.
Yes.
And as you say, all come down to not getting what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that leaves us in pursuit of who is this you?
Uh-huh.
Who is this you who has these needs and they're not being met? And
yes.
So that, of course, is the fundamental question of Zen. Who am I?
Who am I?
So who is this I who is suffering because of wanting things that don't exist?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they don't exist anywhere. It's that they don't exist for me right now. So yeah. I want to feel that, and I'm feeling this. I want to be there, and I'm here. I want that to be happening, and this is happening.
Yes.
So I'm constantly wanting something other than what I'm getting. I'm not getting what I want, and I'm suffering. I am an I who is outside of life, wanting something other than what life is presenting, and as a result, I am suffering.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, as Karen was talking about, it sounds like she's getting some perspective on that process.
Yes, a
little
lot.
A little bit of distance from it.
Yes.
Which is a huge relief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When I'm not believing it.
Yes, to see life in that process way that she's describing. Mm. Because that's a giant step back. I want this with my customers. You know, I want more customers, and then to realize, wait a minute, I'm not responding as a person who wants more customers.
Uh-huh.
I'm having this is a very strange response to getting the more customers that I've wanted, and so seeing that as a process rather than being caught up in letting conditioning figure out for me why I'm irritable.
Mm.
Okay, well, it must be something that that person is doing, or it must be this part of my life that isn't working for me, or it must be that. And conditioning just has endless numbers of explanations for this particular piece of content in our lives.
Yes.
To take that giant step back and see, well, now that is a really fascinating process that I'm doing. I say I want something, I get it, and then I have this reaction. Wow.
Yes. And as you were talking about, the theories from conditioning will go on and on and on.
Because that's what we notice, whether we're sitting on the cushion in meditation, or whether we're in the kind of situation that Karen is describing, as soon as something comes up and it catches our attention, we can notice that we're scanning conditioned mind for an explanation.
Yes.
So I notice that my leg is hurting. And the tendency, the conditioned tendency, is to start scanning conditioned mind for why.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, maybe it's because, well, maybe I, oh, well, I, you know, I didn't sleep on it. And maybe it's because, and, you know, when I was running, I all completely made up.
Mm-hmm. On and on.
On and on.
And on.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating listening to you talk about aspects of the personality. And I remember you were talking with Stanford students here in February about aspects of our personality that get met. And then the next thing comes along.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about doing the work, for example, as a high school student to get into Stanford. And then you got to go to school.
That's right.
And there's a lot more work than in high school.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
All of this effort and energy to get admitted.
Yes.
And then...
Oh, my God.
I thought that was going to be the end of it. And that was the sum total of my goal.
Yes.
And now I've got to be here for 4 years doing this really, really hard work. This is, and, you know, when it's not our issue, we can think, well, what did you think was going to happen? But when we're in it ourselves, we're just focused on whatever this current need in front of us is.
Yes.
That's the whole point of that level of identification and the suffering that attends that. We're so focused, so narrowly focused on this one little thing that we've lost complete sight of this larger reality that we live in.
Yes.
And so life, this larger reality that's totally obvious to everyone except us, not that theirs is, you see.
Right.
It's just that we can see it really clearly in everybody else.
Except ourselves, yeah.
Except ourselves. So we're constantly stumbling over this process that Karen has identified.
Yes.
And it's very, very helpful to be able to step back in that way and see, okay, well, now this personality is here. A lot of times we talk about projection.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this person, this personality is here projecting a reality, but that's not the only reality there is. So we can do this with our friends. You know, my friend comes along and is talking, and I've heard my friend talk about all different kinds of things, and I know that this is just one part of this person talking about what's going on. Now, I can see the whole picture, right? Because yes. we've been friends for a long time, and I've heard these stories for a really long time. But my friend is just locked into this. This is the cause of my suffering, and if I could change that, then everything would. So if we can see it in other people's lives, if we can see it in our past, we can start closing in on seeing it in ourselves, realizing that this is just one aspect of my personality projecting its reality. So what kind of and now this is hardcore awareness practice we're talking about here, okay? So if I can hold on to, you know, the keep your eyes on the prize.
Eyes on the prize.
Sort of a mentality. Now, where am I really going in my life? What do I actually want? Well, I want freedom. That's a good one. I want freedom. That's what I want. I want to end suffering. That's what I want.
Yes.
And so here I am caught up believing that if this were different or that, or if I could make this happen, then life would be the way I wanted. If I could just do this thing, then I would feel the way I want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
If I can keep my focus on, no, what I want to do is be free of believing all of these limitations, I want to end suffering, then is getting this thing to work going to end my suffering? No.
Nope.
So I can then step back and see this is just an aspect of my personality, believing that, you know, as soon as I can do 1,000 sit-ups, my life is going to work. Or as soon as I have $1,000,000 in the bank, then my life is going to work. No, I want to end suffering. Okay, so what is going to lead me toward that?
Yes. Exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, in suffering is because I'm a Zen person. You know, somebody else could have that $1,000,000 in the bank as their goal. It would be the same, actually the same process of disidentifying from that specific viewpoint and seeing all of these various little wants as a subset, you know. So I want a new car. Well, is that going to get me $1,000,000 in the bank? No. Okay. Well, I want to quit my job and go lie on the beach in Hawaii for a summer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that going to get me $1,000,000 in the bank? No.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So it.
So what? Eyes on the prize.
Eyes on the prize.
What is it that I want? Is what I'm doing in furtherance of that goal.
Yeah. And there's no reason for that except it's a technique for helping me get unstuck from these little, you know, each little sub-personality with its own little wants and desires. And that's, of course, what most folks are doing most of the time. You know, this part of me comes up and wants this, and so I track that for a while. And then that need gets met, and then I'm over here going, what am I doing over here? And so then I go over here and track this for a while, and then something happens over there, and then I'm, you know, it's a lot of horizontal progress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is great stuff.
Thank you.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name's Michael Gray. We're going to take a quick break here.
And then those calls are going to be coming in. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, we need fodder here.
We need fodder. And the next couple of weeks, Sherry, you're going to be away. And so if people have questions, they can go ahead and email you.
Yeah.
And that email is openair@kzsu.org.
Fodder is not a good term. We need grist.
Grist.
Would that be it?
How about grist for the mill?
Yes, that's what we're going for here.
Yes. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We're coming to the end of our show here, and people are calling.
I know. Where were they an hour ago?
Well, here they are.
Here they are.
Shall we talk to them?
Let's be grateful that they're here now.
Yes. Judith from Calaveras County, I'd like to welcome you to Open Air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Michael.
Hi.
I sent an email question. I'm a piano teacher. I don't know if you remember that one.
Uh-huh.
And I was having trouble with adult students who expressed a lot of self-hate during the lesson and how frustrating that was for me. And you advised me to be the compassionate acceptance with my presence that they need. And I could no more do that than fly to the moon. So what I found was some compassion for myself.
For not being able to do what you wanted them to be able to do.
Yeah.
Isn't that a good thing?
So it had a really good outcome.
Uh-huh.
because it shifted my my frustration with the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah. We think, you know, why don't people blah, 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 blah?
Yeah.
And then we try to do it, and we wind up with, oh, well, now I understand why they don't do it. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a process, and it's a practice, and we have to keep working at it and coming back to it. And a lot of the people that we get impatient with and frustrated with don't even know that they have that as a choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's actually made me more, I don't know, I let go of something in that process, realizing I need to accept these things in myself. Every time I find myself getting uptight with someone else and wanting to teach them about how they should be more accepting.
I know. When we say it like that, it's funny. But when we're caught in the middle of it, it's not, is it?
I'm finally starting to get this thing about whatever I'm seeing in someone else. It really is in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is in me.
Yeah. Yeah. This projection stuff is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to grab somebody by the shirt front and shake them and say, why can you not just be compassionately accepting?
Yeah.
And they think, oh, well, gee, there might be something in this for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so helpful to realize this, and it explains why, since I started being more committed to a spiritual path, you know, it's been 7 or 8 years, it seemed like I became much more intolerant of people.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah,
really,
because you became more aware of your process.
Exactly.
And absolutely.
I just put it out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay,
good night.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Judith. Sherry, I think these people need some homework.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think so. I think we always do.
Yes.
And the one I'm going to work on this week is the one that we started out talking with Joyce about.
Yes.
To have a sense of where I'm experiencing things in my body.
Mm.
Where do I kind of resist, dig in? Where do I close the energy off? Mm-hmm. Where do things get stuck? What moves easily? Where does the energy move freely? And where does it get bogged down?
Huh. So where in our body?
That'd be fun?
Yeah. Sounds great.
Mm-hmm. So we went through the 7 chakras, and they just about cover the body.
Yes.
So, you know, we don't have to get too tense about, well, now is that the 2nd or the 3rd?
Uh-huh.
Just kind of roughly those parts of the body and just see, where do I feel things? Where do I tighten up? Where do I resist? Where do I get that, you know, lot of energy kind of thing that Joyce was describing? You know, can I feel different parts of my body opening? Some people will talk about their hearts opening or that sort of thing. So just noticing where and how the body, the energy moves in the body.
Wow. And we want to hear from people.
We do.
However, they
do.
Can U.S. Postal, email, by horseback.
That's right. Send us a message in a bottle.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach us by email at openair@kzsu.org. And Sherry, you'll be back in a few weeks and we'll take people's reports then.
Yeah, lots of homework between now and then, and so a lot of things to discuss.
Yes, and if you're curious about what Sherry's up to, please check out the website, sherryhuber.com, sherryhuber.com. Coming up at 6 p.m. today, we have more great world music with DJ Decca at the Cafe Bohemian and the Bot of Euphony at 9 p.m. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you.